Welcome to Bethany Community Church tonight. We're so excited to have you guys here. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
We believe this is not just a time of where we get to hang out, but we really believe that Christmas is a time of worship. So we're going to spend some time worshiping God tonight and singing about Him. He's been so good to us. So we're just going to give Him praise today, not just for tonight, but for everything He's done in our lives. So good.
Let every heart prepare Him room. Our God has come to dwell in you. Say, for the Lord has come. Oh, what a wondrous song. Say, for the Lord has come from heaven to earth. Our King is victorious.
Today. We might know this one. We sing it here at BCC sometimes, but let's not forget Christmas is about worship. That's why the shepherds came. That's why the wise men came. They came to worship, and that's why we are here tonight. We're here to worship God. He's been so good to us. So let's sing.
A child has been given, the King of our freedom. Sing, for the light has come. This is Christmas. Come and adore Him. Bring gifts before Him. Go through the world, worship the Son. This is Christmas. He is Jesus Emmanuel. He lives down on the world. We have a Savior. We have a Savior. We are no longer alone, for He has come down for us. We have a Savior. We have a Savior. Lift up your voices, join in the song of hope. This is Christmas. He is Jesus Emmanuel.
Let's say His love will reign.
His love will reign forever. His love will reign forever. His love will reign forever.
Let's praise His name. He's been good to us, God. We love You.
Turn next to the person next to you, easy for me to say, and tell them Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for coming out tonight to our Christmas Eve service. You're in for a wonderful evening. I don't want to tell you everything, but I was here at 5 o'clock, and It was worth coming back for. The kids are ready in the back. They're raring to go. As you can hear, the band has come to play tonight. And Pastor Phil has come to bring us an awesome message to celebrate the coming of our King. Amen? Amen. We're excited about everything that's going on here. I've got a few announcements. We will not be here tomorrow, so don't come to service tomorrow. We won't be here because we want to give you a chance to have the entire day with your family to celebrate the birth of Jesus, to celebrate family and friends, and so take us up on that. Have a great day together, but be here a week from Sunday for our New Year's Day service. It'll be at 11 o'clock. There's no better way to start off the new year than to spend some time with your church family, spend some time in worship and prayer, and just ask God to prepare us for the new year. Amen? Amen. We're excited about that. Let me get my phone the right way so I can see what I'm doing. The ushers are going to come right now. We celebrate tonight the giving of the greatest gift that's ever been given. And so I want to read to you, the angels talk about the first gift and how he was wrapped. Let's read this together. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you, and you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Father God, we praise you, Lord. We thank you tonight for that gift. We know that because you came as a baby and lived among us, became a man like us, a person like us, Lord God, you understand who we are and what we need. And so, Father, thank you for giving us the gift of your Son tonight. And we respond tonight with our tithes and offerings, not really because we have to, but because we want to. It's natural for us to want to give back to you because you've already given us everything. And so we praise you tonight, Father. Use the offerings, use the tithes that we give to you tonight to further your kingdom here in this area of the world and beyond. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you for all you're going to do in the service tonight. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
does the story start about Christmas?
Can I go first?
So Mary was a virgin, and she wasn't that important. So an angel came, and she got really frightened. She was scared.
So what if you were cleaning your room, and then an angel appeared? What would you guys do?
Ah!
So do you think Mary maybe did
it? Hide behind my green chair.
Or maybe just throw it.
Throw what?
A green chair at the angel if you were scared.
My green chair is too heavy.
Oh, come on.
What did the angel tell Mary?
Don't be scared, you're going to have a baby.
I have great news, you're going to be the mother of the Messiah.
And what is the baby's name?
Jesus.
Yeah.
No, Luke Skywalker. I'm just kidding. It's Jesus.
And Mary said, how can it be? I'm not
Mary.
Well, basically there was a census in Bethlehem, and Joseph was born in Bethlehem, the city of David, and Mary and Joseph, only engaged, had to go to Bethlehem for the census.
Joseph and Mary went to?
Bethlehem.
So Mary had to travel on a donkey and Joseph had to pull her. And so once they got to Bethlehem, it was crowded. They couldn't find a house or an inn, so their only choice was to go in a stable
with all animals in it.
Lamb, the cat, and the cow.
There could be animal poop or animal pee. And there Jesus was born.
So who came and visited Jesus?
The shepherds.
And who else?
No, not the shepherds.
A herd of angels came to shepherds and told them about how Jesus was going to be born. And then they went and celebrated. And as they were going back, they told everyone with joy about how Jesus was born.
And so the wise men were following a star to get there. Once they got there, they gave him
probably gold, money, and sapphires.
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And shepherds also came and they gave him gifts. And that's the story of Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas. And Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
So how many of you will exchange your gifts in the morning? How many tonight? How many both? how many of you, like, do what our family has done for many years? You exchange one gift on Christmas Eve. It's hard to stop at one, though, isn't it? So we have gift exchange, right? But Christmas, the first Christmas, was not a gift exchange. It was a gift. It was a gift given to us by a God, and here's what's the amazing part. The amazing part, it was given to us by a God who pursued us to give us this gift. Gift exchanges are about people we're in relationship with, people who we have mutual respect for, usually, at some level. But God pursued us when we had no regard for him. We had no respect for him. And in fact, we had, for the centuries of our relationship with God, it really, the history of our relationship with God is us telling God to go away. That's telling God that we didn't need him, that we could make it fine without him. It's fine. In fact, the first opportunity that we had to have a relationship with God, Adam and Eve in the garden, and Eve heard the words, you will be as God, knowing good and evil. If you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The serpent didn't say to Eve, he didn't ask her, he said, would you like to be closer to God? Would you like to know him better? would you like to have a better relationship with him? He basically said, would you like to have no relationship with him at all? And she jumped at the chance to have no relationship with him at all. So here, centuries later, God is still pursuing us. And you see this throughout history. It kind of reminds you of the Forrest Gump, you know, and his relationship with Jenny. Remember that? She grows up. He's her friend. He's there. He's always there. That's the way God is. As we go through our brokenness and our abuse and our problems, and it's kind of like, you know, that poignant scene in that movie where they are walking, they're adults now, and she has left. She is doing better with her life. And they see this house where she was abused, and she's throwing rocks at it. And finally she stops, and he says, sometimes there ain't enough rocks. She didn't realize who he was to her and how much, you know, that's what we were with God. But God just keeps pursuing, and the Christmas story is that he's not going to stop. He's going to be the God who gives this gift. And let me tell you tonight, that gift, the gift that he is giving us is what I call, and what the ancients called, the ancient prophets call, shalom, peace. Is what God is chasing you with, to give you peace in your life. John 3:16 says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And that is why, so no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have whole and lasting life. That phrase, whole and lasting life, describes shalom. Shalom is not a mere absence of conflict, but a state where human beings and their God flourish together. It's abundant life. It's eternal life. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. That's where we're going. And it all started with Mary and an angel.
God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will rule over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife.
your baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Oh, Mary, did you know? Your baby boy won't give sight to a blind man. Mary, did you know your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels to run? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary. Oh, Mary, did you know? Yeah. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the brave. Creation, Mary, did you know your baby? Ooh, your baby rule the nations. Did you know your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is a great.
Knew her story. She knew her Jewish story. She knew the narrative. She knew that Israel had gone into exile for some 70 years, had come back to Jerusalem after 70 or 80 years of exile, only to be oppressed now in their own land by the Roman government. The Roman government, in conjunction with their own religious leaders, who in an agreement with the Roman government were oppressing the people together. So the work of restoring Israel back to its kingdom was not complete, and she knew that a Messiah would come, and this is why this news was so amazing to her, that God would make her the carrier of the Messiah of Israel, who would finish the story that had begun all those many hundreds of years before. You see, there's something though that she didn't understand. There are things Mary knew, but the things she didn't know. What she didn't know, that God was not just going to restore a political leader to Israel. God was not just going to restore Israel as a nation, but God was also going to do something else, because there had been a time in the nation of Israel when Israel had not been ruled by kings, but they had been ruled by priests. They'd been ruled by priests who not only controlled the civil government and not only made sure that the people, the poor, and everyone in the community received justice, received what was fair and what was right, but those same men were the men that you would go to on an annual basis and you would receive from them the assurance that your sins were forgiven and that you were restored to God. And so God came to let her know that not only was he going to be the political ruler, but if you read the story and heard the words of the angel Gabriel to her, he said that this child that would be her child would deliver his people from their sins. Now she never thought of that. Because Jesus came not only to restore our society, not only is he still writing that story and telling that story, but he's also coming to be the king of our hearts and forgive us and cleanse us of our sins. So here are the purposes of God. See, she was expecting a political leader like David, and she was wanting a mighty King David to show up. And you know, when David showed up, people's heads rolled when David showed up. That's what she was expecting. But God had a bigger plan. Number one, being God's chosen people had been an unbearable burden. So number one, the king would deliver them from their oppressors. The king would fulfill all of God's promises. And the king would be God in the flesh. And fourthly, the king would be the one who would rescue them from their sins. Now, let's stop and talk about this idea of sin for a minute. Sin is something that makes people really tense when you talk about sin. Because we have the idea that sin is just a bunch of rules, but it's about a bunch of rules that the church made up. That God is up in heaven, he's been up there a very long time, and so he is getting old. And therefore, since he's getting old, he really doesn't know how to have fun anymore. And so when he looks down at earth and he sees people starting to have fun, he says, that's sin, you need to stop it, because that's bad. And there is a side of sin. Yes, sin is, we believe in the church, that sin is displeasing to God. As one theologian put it, sin is to crawl under the ribs of God and try to determine what is best for our own lives. So sin is rebellion. C.S. Lewis said, man is not just a mistaken creature who needs improvement. He is a rebel who needs to lay down his arms. So yes, there's that side of sin that's mysterious that we don't really totally understand, but we know God says, thou shalt not throughout Scripture. We see that. But sin is not just about something that hurts God. Sin, on the other hand, is the behavior that is against ourselves. It's what hurts us. It's what separates us from that peace that I talked about a minute ago, that shalom. Alvin Plantinga said, God hates sin, not just because it violates his law, but more substantively, it breaks its shalom, or our peace. It interferes with the way it's supposed to be. That's what it does. God is for shalom. God is for peace. The presence of sin breaks up our peace. It makes it not the way it should be. Jeffrey White said this, shalom has to do with this natural flourishing where all our natural needs are met, where all of our natural needs are met and all our natural giftings are fruitfully employed. See, here's the story of God. The story of God ends like this. One day, the lion will lay down with the lamb. The soldiers will turn their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. That's how the story of God ends. That's how the gift of God works. A child will play over the den of a viper. Every man will sit under their own vine and they will not be afraid. This is where God is taking. Think about it for a minute. Let's think about this. Is there any? Now, I believe we've all sinned. Is anybody in this room not once in your life told a lie? Has anybody never told a lie? Not once in your life. It's kind of dark. I can't really see you, but I by faith, I know that no hands are up. But have you ever had anybody say to you, you know, my life was a disaster. I was so disconnected from my family. We had no harmony. We had no peace until I started lying. And I started lying all the time, and it just solved all of my problems. Or I can tell you, when our family came together is after I cheated on my spouse. It really brought the family together. It was amazing. Our neighborhood, the neighborhood, we did not really have great relationship with our neighbors until my son started breaking and entering the neighbors' homes. We're laughing because we know it's true. We know that sin doesn't make us happy. We know that sin does not bring us together. Sin does not bring us shalom. But I got good news for you here tonight. Jesus came to deliver us from our sins.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, the old song says. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. The good news for Mary is that Christ came to save the Jews. The greater news is that what he intends to do for the Jews, or intended to do for the Jews, he intends to do for the whole world. Let me just give you a part of a big scholar who uses big words named N.T. Wright. What God does for Israel is what God is doing in relation to the whole world. Good news. Now, God told Mary the good news by sending her an angel. But how did he tell the other people the good news?
Hey, everybody. I want you guys to meet some awesome people. They're actually not people. They're angels. Say hi to these angels. Angels, say hi to all these people. Aren't they awesome? Don't they look great? So, angels, do you guys want to sing with me?
Yeah.
So, we're going to tell these guys about some of the visitors that came to visit Jesus in the manger. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous say, let's sing glory.
I like your moves, buddy. That's a good dance move. So the first group of visitors that came to visit Jesus in the manger were some guys who tended to sheep and fields. They were called shepherds, and some angels appeared before them. You guys appeared before the shepherds, and you said, hey, you gotta come and see this Jesus guy. So these angels, these shepherds are gonna come in right now. So let's say hi to these shepherds. They're coming in and they're excited. So let's sing. One, two, three, and.
Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire every song.
Sing it.
Glory.
Visitors came from very, very far away, and they were known as the wise men. They followed a star all the way to Jesus, and they came to bring in gifts. So, hey guys, look out over there. You see? It's the wise men. They're coming. So let's say hi to the wise men. One, two, three, yes!
Star of wonder, star of light,
Let's sing one more time.
In excelsis Deo.
What Mary and all of Israel had to come to understand was this gift, this Jesus, was an inside-out king with an inside-out kingdom. That yes, his story was going to be bigger than they ever imagined. Isn't it always? Isn't God's plan always bigger, more incredible than we could imagine? It was bigger than they could imagine. You kind of see a glimpse of this when Mary is at a wedding one time, and she brought her son, and they ran out of wine. And you could tell, you read the story, and you could just tell that Mary is thinking, these people don't know, but my boy created the grapes that they make the wine out of. And all of us think very highly of our kids, right? But what if you were Mary? She'd been keeping this a secret for a long time. And she said, Jesus, over here. Jesus will take care of this, guys. Whatever your problem is, he will take care of it. And you could tell, you could feel the tension in the story that Jesus didn't really want to do it, you know? And he's, oh, Mom, you know, he didn't really want to do it, but you got to do what your mom tells you to do, right? So he comes over. Mary knew her son was going to rule the world, but she didn't know how big it really was. She didn't know that not only was he going to rule the Jewish nation, but he was going to rule the world. In fact, Jesus, in his closing words, said these words. He said, this gospel must be preached to all nations. See, I'm so very proud of the gospel. We are such settlers. We settle for so much less than what God really has for us in all of our personal lives. And so did Mary. She had no idea. But Mary, I really admire her so much. She's such a special lady because she got it. She was willing to let the story guide her rather than her trying to control the story. And here's how I know. Because one day she heard that Jesus was going to die, but she heard something else. Jesus said, I'm going to come back. And Jesus said, I want everybody to go to Jerusalem, and there in Jerusalem, after I ascend, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And when she heard those words, the Holy Spirit, something went off inside of her. She remembered the last time she heard that. The last time she heard about the Holy Spirit was when she asked the angel, how will I conceive, being that I do not know a man? And he said, the power of the Most High, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. What is conceived in you will be of the Holy Spirit. And she's, you know, her and 119 other people showed up at the upper room to receive the Holy Spirit, to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit and give birth to the Church of Jesus Christ. Listen to the last words that Jesus, some of the last words that Jesus spoke before he ascended. He said, moved by the Spirit. I was going to tell you about something else, and I kind of got off track there for a second. I was going to tell you about Mary went to the temple to take Jesus when he was 8 days old. And this is where her first clue that Jesus was more than just her Savior, but he was the Savior of the world. Luke 2, chapter 27, verse 33. Moved with the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child to Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised. Simeon was a guy who stayed at the temple and sought God, and he was looking for the hope of Israel. You now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said
about him. I can almost see Mary and Joseph leaving that scene, and I know what caught their attention, the word Gentiles. He said that this child would be a blessing to the Gentiles. That's when they begin to first get a clue that this was bigger than what they had imagined. Now, I don't know many of you here tonight. Some of you are not Gentiles, but most of you are. So this is the hope of the gospel. The love of Jesus is unconditional, but a relationship with Jesus isn't. See, Herod never had a relationship with Jesus for two simple reasons. He refused to need him, and he refused to trust him. That's all that will keep you outside, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you're a Semite or you're not. All that will keep you out of a relationship with God is if you say, I don't need him or I don't trust him. That's all that will keep you out. Remember, it's not a gift exchange. It's a gift. You can't receive Jesus unless you admit that you need him.
Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and the peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding with justice and righteousness. From that time on, forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Isaiah 9:6-7.
Worship it.
The Bible says that when the wise men saw the star, they were overjoyed. Now that's very interesting, that they would be overjoyed, because they knew what that star meant. They knew it meant a new king. They knew it meant a new kingdom. Now they had, these were consultants to kings. That's what they did for a living. They were consultants to rulers. They had relationships with many kings. And of course they had just met Herod, which may explain why they were really interested in a different king. But they were excited about a new king and a new kingdom. They had experienced the best that earth had to offer. They had experienced the best that man could offer in terms of government. And they knew that men fall short of what is necessary to bring peace to earth. That men fall short of bringing that wonderful thing we call shalom, connectedness with one another and connectedness with God. Sin is that thing that separates us, and hell is that place where we're separated from one another and we're separated from God. And Jesus came to bring us together, and they knew that we needed a different kind of order. We needed a different kind of government. The Bible says of Jesus in the book of Isaiah, the government will be on his shoulders. That's why they were overjoyed. And maybe you came to this service tonight. Maybe you came because you just wanted to be in a Christmas service, or it's tradition. And I love that. I think tradition is great. But maybe you really came for something more. Is that you need a new government in your life. You need a new leader in your life, personally. I don't know if you're like me, but I got this voice inside of me that I know is me. And that voice isn't very nice to me sometimes. That voice tells me you're an idiot sometimes. You blew it. You're never going to amount to anything. People are against you. You're going to fail. Everybody's looking at your mistakes. That's what that voice says to me. That's my personal internal ruler, my personal internal king. But since I have put my faith in Jesus Christ, I still have that old voice. I have another voice, though. That when I say to myself, you're worthless, that voice says, you have been created in my image. You're just a little lower than the angels. I've crowned you with glory. When I say I'm an idiot, that voice says, you have the wisdom of God. When that voice says, my voice says, I blew it, that voice says, all things work together for good to those who love me and are called according to your purpose. Because I have a new king in my heart. I have seen the star, and it's led me to a new government. And I am proud to announce that that will someday be the government of the whole world. A government of love and peace and shalom. Now, let me tell you, in closing, I want to say this. There's a difference in believing in God and believing God. I would wager that everybody here tonight believes in God. There might be an atheist here. You came to please your family, and that's great. We're glad you're here. But I would say that most people believe in God. But I want you to take that other step tonight and believe God. That what he says is true. And his promise to be your Savior. His promise to be your personal king. Remember what we talked about a little bit ago? We talked about the priest and how the priest had a function of forgiving sins. The king had a function of keeping civil order. Jesus is our kingly priest. Jesus, put them together. He's the one who will bring civil order. In fact, any community that will honor him will have greater order in their community. But he will also bring you personal forgiveness, deliverance of the thing that breaks you and hurts you and hurts your relationships with other people, if you will let him tonight. I'm going to pray right now. And maybe you want to just repeat the words after me, or repeat them in your heart, or just in your heart, not agreement. And I believe as what happened to me all those years ago can happen to you tonight, and that you will begin to, like Mary, have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to come into my heart, be the Savior of my soul, be the rescuer of my life, be that other voice, the one that doesn't condemn me, but the one that confirms me, not the voice that hurts me, not the voice that limits me, but the voice that takes the limit off of me. Father, thank you that unstable people can come to the stable and receive hope and help in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you guys so much for coming tonight. Did you guys have a good time? How good did all these guys do? Why don't you give them a hand? Yes, take a bow, angels, take a bow, yes, yes. They did a great job. So we're going to sing you guys out with a song you all know, so I want you to stand up and I want you guys to sing with us. Sound good? You guys ready to lead these guys? Sing one more song, angels? What about you people in the manger, wise men, shepherds, you ready to do this? Okay, let's do it. One, two, three, and go! I'm on the wrong key, I blew it. I
Merry
blew
Christmas.
It. Merry Christmas. Go home. Go home. It would have been fine for me, but not for the kids. My bad. Selfish man. I always sing in G. One, two, one, two, three, yeah!
That blessed Christmas morn.